Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Testing. It's episode 87, Friday, the 25th of April, 2025. And welcome, welcome, welcome. It feels like it's been a while since we've all caught up as we were off last week, but it's lovely to be back. And yes, folks who are joining us live, thank you for participating in the chat. Feel free to say hello in the live chat, drop a link to your MOT profile. So hello there, Ushwal, Mariam, Eamon, Gary, and Neil. Very cool to see you here today. So my name is Simon Tomes, Community Lead here at Ministry of Testing. This is an official Ministry of Testing event. And so please be mindful of the Ministry of Testing Code of Conduct. So if you are active in the chat and you do come up on stage, be mindful that that code of conduct is in place. For those who are unfamiliar with This Week in Testing, it's a way for us to gather each week to just have a little debrief about your week in testing. You can tell us what you've been up to, ask the crowd or the audience a question, and we might be able to help. And also just, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to big up someone in the community who's been up to good things and you want to do a nice shout out to them. We very much encourage folks coming up on stage to do some of that. But today I am co-hosting with the wonderful Rosie Sherry. Rosie Sherry is CEO and founder of Ministry of Testing. Without Rosie, none of this would exist. So it's very cool that you're here today, Rosie. How are you doing? How's your week in testing been?
Hey, hey, good to be here. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. This week in testing, it's been good, busy. I feel like it's all flown by so fast. What have I been doing? Yesterday I did a talk at the Catalan virtual conference, so that was interesting. Nice to get out, and at least virtually. And I guess, like, as I was on a panel basically, and it kind of turned into like speaking on behalf of the community. So everything I was saying is basically me kind of repeating what we're doing or seeing within the Motiverse, so to speak. So that's kind of nice, I think, you know. So you're talking about, I was trying to raise awareness for systems thinking and risks and quality engineering, coaching kind of stuff that we've basically been covering for the past few months. So that was nice.
Very cool.
I think I've always liked to speak on behalf of the community rather than necessarily pushing my own ideas. That was good.
Rosie, I'm just going to jump in. A comment from Mariam. Yeah, I watched the summit. Was great. Very interesting statistics. Oh, nice one, Mariam. Definitely want to find out a little bit more about those statistics. So, yeah, maybe that's a good opportunity to join us in a bit, Mariam, and you can tell us a little bit more about that. So, yeah, back to you, Rosie.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about the chat, I mean, Alexandra just dropped a link to my MOT profile, which is probably the next thing that we've done this week. I'm not sure when Blue Sky launched it, whether it was last week or this week, but they launched a verification for Blue Sky. And obviously verification isn't necessarily a new thing. Other platforms have had it. The platform that we shall not name has had it, you know, in their own way. But it made me realize that because we have MOT profiles, it's like, hey, we can have verification as well. So literally, like, within the past 24 hours, we shipped verification for the Motiverse, which is pretty cool. So if you look at my profile, you'll see a purple tick. Alexandra has just dropped a link to the news post, I think, or maybe not yet. Actually, that's just a code of conduct. But there's a new news post, there we go, on the MOT site that kind of talks a little bit about it. But basically, to be verified, you need to be a MOT professional member. But yeah, what do you think about the verification angle, Simon?
I love it. I think it's another, you know, I think in terms of as testing professionals, we have various data points, various bits of information that we piece together to make up something and make a decision on. And the verification tick is another piece of that data, right? I think for those in the community who really want to demonstrate that they're serious about their craft and that they mean business and people should hire them, people should promote them, people should, you know, improve their benefits, then, you know, a verification is just another signal to the world that people are serious about their career growth. So I love it. I love the fact that we literally shipped it pretty much within 24 hours. I also chuckle, this is a behind the scenes. The original purple color was slightly off brand. So we had to update it. However, we did manage to get, if you look at, for those with the super eagle eyes, if you go onto the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, you'll see a post that says Rosie is speaking on This Week in Testing. It's a screenshot of Rosie's profile page with the different purple version. So there's an exclusive one-off version that exists in the world right now. So that's like a collector's item. Go check that image out. It did make me chuckle that it now exists in the world.
We turn it into NFT, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Oh, wow, there you go. That really is the way to support what we're up to. Okay, we've minted it. It's, as we speak, it's being turned into an NFT. That's brilliant.
MOT coin.
MOT coin. Oh, yeah. Coming soon. Coming soon. Oh boy, we've committed to it now, Rosie, live on This Week in Testing. So does that mean it's going to happen? Brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, like, on just before we move on a slightly more serious note, you know, we are doing our best to invest into the idea of building a platform, and this is just another step towards what we're building. You know, feature wise, it's, you know, it wasn't that complicated, but some of the interesting things that we've seen starting to happen are things like MOT profiles appearing quite high on Google search results and also on ChatGPT. So it's, you know, those kind of things that we are investing in, and we're trying to help testing and quality professionals raise the bar, raise their profile, get found. The purple tick is associated to professional membership, but that also supports us to keep doing what we're doing. And sometimes I feel like a bit of a broken record, like reiterating it, but I think it's also part of my role is that I have to keep reiterating it, because not everyone hears the message. But I hope that people continue to see that we're a small independent company, and we're truly just trying to build something super special and audacious from our perspective. It's like, let's create something really special. I think we are creating something special, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
100%. And I think it's great that you keep banging the drum. We need to, right? It's like there's plenty more folks out there who need to discover Ministry of Testing and the joy and value it can bring to them. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we have a wonderful bunch of official ambassadors. We also have an amazing group of people within the community that continue to say, look, you know, become part of Ministry of Testing, you know, commit to a professional membership, really go for it with your career. It will be a game changer. And yeah, we continue to be grateful for that. So yeah, we just got to, we'll keep banging the drum, and hopefully folks will, you know, get that value and go, oh yeah, yeah. There's so many light bulb moments I see within the community of members joining and them going, oh, I wish I'd joined earlier. I'd wish I'd got involved and done this earlier on in my career. That happens often, and that's okay. But I think if we can connect with people earlier stages in their career, the better. And, you know, that's why we're doing things like the Software Testing Essentials Certificate. That is a phenomenal piece of learning material. And Rosie and I get to review all of it before it goes live, which is a real privilege. We love it. And there's so much good stuff going through. I think module 11 went live recently. So again, that's another one to check out for people who are new to the testing and quality engineering profession. Do go check out that certificate. Isn't just about getting a fancy certificate at the end. It really is about connections with the community, and it gives people confidence, gives people real confidence to step into their first or maybe, you know, second role as a testing professional. And that's, you know, that's just another example. I think the other feature I'd like to call out is community stars. So for those who are familiar with our forum called The Club, we have been using The Club to administer community stars every month. And it's a monthly process. We have like this algorithm that goes on in the background that helps us spot amazing people in the community that are up to good stuff. There's 50 ways that you can get, 50 plus ways you can get a community star. We are slowly but surely bringing that onto the Ministry of Testing website. So if you head to ministryoftesting.com/community-stars, and whilst I have it on my screen, I'm just going to bung it in the chat to save you having to grab that one, Alexandra, but thank you for sharing all the links. Go check it out. Already within this week, the team MOT we've dished out, I think it works at about 20 stars so far, or thereabouts, maybe a bit less. But it's brilliant. It allows us to dish out community stars immediately. We don't have to wait to do it all at the end of the month. And people can now see the reason why they have been awarded a community star. So let's take the very latest example. So Deborah Sherwood, literally about an hour or so before we started This Week in Testing, I dished out a community star to Deborah Sherwood. She put out a really lovely post of gratitude for the badges that she'd received and just sort of sharing how she really has valued MOT over the past years. So she got a community star as an all-round big MOT supporter and amplifier, which is great. And also, a lot of these stars can now be automated based on things that people do. So if people write an article that gets published, they get a star immediately for that. If they have a talk that's published, they get a star immediately for that, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great way for us to continue to celebrate the community and for folks to amplify what they're up to with their managers and with their teams and with potential employers as well.
Yeah, I'm loving it, actually. It's in a very MVP stage at the moment, which is kind of funny and frustrating as well. And Andrew's on holiday, so we can't fix
yes
things straight away. So we're like sitting patiently for him to come back for us to info dump improvements that we want to make. But it's just nice to go to, you know, again, it ties into MOT profiles. And it's nice, like, for us to spot stuff and show gratitude with a star. You know, maybe the star is a currency, maybe the star is a bit of coin as well. Who knows? But, you know, I'm already thinking about, like, you know, how you can get GitHub stars for projects. And I think now that we just have to have a little star on people's MOT profiles with the number of stars people have received. And then that's another kind of credibility thing, is like, you know, how many stars have you had as an MOT professional? And if you've had lots of stars, you know, that's just like an amazing sign that you're contributing to the community, you care about testing, you're learning actively. You know, it's just one other way to kind of improve your portfolio. But at the same time, you're naturally learning and you're naturally building up your network and all of those things. So, yeah, I'm excited for where stars are going, community stars, and how it's evolved over the past year. Lots of the stuff until now has been very manual, And I think, you know, we got to the stage where it's like, ah, this is too much. We have to automate it. But the manual side allowed us to think through about what we actually needed, and the kind of things we wanted to award people for community stars. And it's really helped us think through things. And that for me is like, as like a community builder, you know, it's really interesting to design this for the community. So this is like our active community design has been ongoing from this perspective for the past at least 12 months, I think, for the community stars. And we're, you know, we're doing stuff to move it forward. And I think that's important things, like every day or every week, we're actioning stuff and trying to improve it all. But yeah, I think, you know, it's going to become, or, you know, it's going to become more important over time. And yeah, who knows where it will lead. I think at some point, like, professional members could award stars. You know, that's where I want to head as well, is that how can we allow other members to give gratitude and thanks and things like that. You know, it shouldn't just be us, team at MOT, managing it all. Members will see things that we don't see, so that's probably, you know, coming at some point. I don't know when, but we'll figure it out.
We'll work it out. It's our standard line. Well, I mean, that concept ties in with the observatory. So if folks aren't familiar with that, the observatory went live fairly recently. We're still iterating on it. And this is a way for people to add bookmarks, like add links that are interesting. So this could be, you know, a link to a YouTube video that you find interesting, a link to a book, a link to a blog post, article, whatever, right? And that's, you know, that opportunity for more folks in the community to add bookmarks to the observatory is fantastic. Because again, you know, team MOT, we can't do it all, and we're not seeing stuff that everyone's seeing. That would be ridiculous to say that we are. I mean, of course, we pay very close attention to what's happening in as many places as possible, but you know, we have to scale it with the community and the community members who are up for it. I think the cool thing about observatory as well, if someone adds a link, then and they attribute it to a contributor, it assigns it to that person's profile. So again, that person's profile page has more value. So, you know, you could be thinking, oh, I'm just going to go on a friendly mission and add a load of links to the observatory and assign this person to it, and then do them a favor by adding their link on their behalf to their profile, which is really cool. I think that's a kind way to support your fellow community members as well. You know, if you think, oh, this blog post is brilliant, oh, I'll go and add it to the observatory and assign it to that person, then you're helping them improve their profile at the same time. But Rosie, I'm just doing a quick time check. So it's probably a good time to get some folks up on stage. But before we do that, we've had some brilliant stuff coming through on the chat. So we've referenced to the coin idea and NFTs. Ben Doan shares NFT, non-functional test artifact. Oh my goodness, an acronym acronym confusion. Alexander Romanov, MOT coin can easily be minted on Ethereum blockchain. Oh, wow, there we go. Ben also shares there shouldn't be mock coin as in multiple, but rather one single coin that is an oracle, that is a single MOT coin, e.g. the actually struck from metal that just sits at MOT HQ. I guess that would be on your shelf in the background of where you're sat right now. Ujwal shares Motiverse should have its own currency. Yes. I love that. Very cool ideas. And thank you for joining in on the chat, folks, for those who are joining us live. And also, if you are listening to this on the podcast, we're grateful for that too. We do aim to turn around the podcast recording and get it live within the day. So I can't remember the tagline we came up with that. For that, Rosie, I've gone blank. I know Alexandra came up with it.
Same day delivery.
Same day delivery. That was it. Yes, same day delivery. So Twit offers same day delivery. Brilliant.
Faster than Amazon,
Yeah, that's
we're,
it. That's it. I love that. Okay, folks, well, I think now is a good time to get some people up on stage. We would love to find out about your week. So, for those who are watching live, you can see on the screen, we're curious to know what have you been up to? What's been a win? And perhaps, share something that maybe you struggle with and either just to get it off your chest or perhaps find an opportunity to get some help and advice today. So, if you are on the desktop app, the desktop browser version of Crowdcast, you can press the little button, the little hand icon next to the chat that says, bring me up on stage. Rosie and I can then see a little notification and we can press a button to bring that person on stage. So, yes, I see Ben Doan. I would love to hear from Ben about software testing live because that was epic. So, Ben, let's get you up on stage.
Hello, everyone. Can you
Can hear you loud and clear, Ben. It's good to see you up on stage with us today. How has your weekend testing been?
My weekend testing has been pretty good. As you mentioned, I had the software testing live this week. The latest episode on Wednesday with the fantastic Brittany Stewart, and that was an awful lot of fun. That's the third time out now. For software testing live. For those of you who don't know, it is our event that aims to socialize the practice of software testing by having live testing sessions. And Brittany was such a cool character, and it went so quickly that 90 minutes. I think we both came off session buzzing, like, oh, we could have done this for longer. And it's like, I think I'm definitely gonna have to. Put Brittany on a list to invite back to another session later on.
100%. It was very cool, Ben. And I know, yeah, just some of the unexpected behavior of the application that you're exploring were brilliant. And it was just kind of a reminder that that's just the reality. We're going to discover stuff that's unexpected. And I think the way that yourself and Brittany just continue to explore and you made note of it and you're like, okay, yeah, this stuff happens. Let's move on. And you did. It was brilliant. So yeah, the recording for that should be available in the coming weeks. We do have a collection already for the other two episodes that we've had so far. So do go check out that. It's available on the collections page. But if you just search for software testing live on ministrytesting.com, you should be able to find them as well.
Very cool.
Well, yeah, one thing I thought, just a quick note, one thing that I love about software testing live is just seeing your faces as you're testing, and like the excitement that you express, and like when you find something, or when you're each doing things from different angles. It's just so good to see that, I guess see that in action. And it's a real lesson learned that actually everybody tests in so many different ways, and there's a lot of stuff we aren't aware of, and that's okay. And by doing these live sessions, you can see the value of like pair testing, right? It's like, wow, this is cool and it's fun, and that's how learning should be.
I'm really glad that you picked up on that, really, because that's exactly the core of this whole thing. I'm actually very grateful to you and the rest of MOT for being able to host these sessions. Because in effect, I just love to see how other great people test. Exactly that. I really love to learn in these pairing sessions. All the different ways that people think about testing that are just a bit different. It's like we may call it the same thing, but all those little bits about how we describe things, how we take notes, how we attack breadth versus depth, how we want to go deep into the problems that we find, or how we just want to note them and move on later, right? All those different things. I've learned so much already from the three guests we've had on, and I'm just really glad to be doing it because I want to see more of this content, and I was like, nobody's doing this stuff, and I want more of it. So, dang it, let's just go out there and do more of it. So I just have so much fun. That's the main thing. It's such a pleasure to run those sessions. And let me give you a spoiler alert, folks, while you're on the call. We are taking a short break from Software Testing Live in May. But in June, I'm back with the fantastic Callum Akehurst Ryan on the 18th of June, which is the next session, which I don't think even has a page yet on the MOT website. So you heard it here first.
Off the press. I love it. So good to hear that. I think we might actually have the event page there as a placeholder for people who were so super keen to sign up even before we'd announced who you'd be co-hosting with. But that's amazing that it's Callum. And as Rosie shares in the chat, breaking news, folks, breaking news.
I love the idea of calling it breaking news. Like software testing, breaking news. What do you mean? Well, there's news, we're breaking stuff.
Exactly, exactly. We can't get enough of using breaking news. It's a bit of a nod to the testing planet as well, where we used to do the news section.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
We have so much fun in MOT at the moment, just looking for these connections in the language we use. And also, like, our website is very BBC inspired. And a few weeks back, the BBC had this breaking news image. It's just like one big red image with breaking news and written in white. And I just like screenshotted it and like took it as an example, you know, and saying to the team, and say, we have to find an excuse to do a news piece that is just like this. And it's just like has this breaking news image, because you know it has so many different interpretations, but also it's fun, and we want to really keep that fun vibe, but also, you know, we're very serious, but we're fun but serious. But yeah, it's so fun. It really energizes us as a team, I think. And we're just gonna keep going, you know, keep feeding those ideas in, you know, to the team in the Slack, in the club, you know, here in the chat. You know, we do watch out for words, and we do literally design things around the conversations that we're having with each other.
Love it. Love it so much.
Ben, well, thank you for sharing. I'm conscious that we could get some more people up on stage. So Ben, please do stick around, of course. We love you to be sticking around for the rest of the episode if you can, and staying on stage. I see we have the wonderful Mariem Safi is up for joining us. So Mariem, I'm going to work the special accept button, and let's see if the technology is holding out for us today. Mariem.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, welcome.
Thanks for... how are you? I always begin with this sentence. Oh, sorry.
No, appreciate you asking. Habit. Yeah, of course. No, I'm doing good. Thanks, Mariem. And still smiling at the opportunity you and I had to co-host the other week. And no doubt in the future we get to do more of that. It's great. Great to have you. And Mariem, you've been up to some brilliant stuff with the community right now. Even just an example, and I'm going to quickly find this on my screen. Yes, a couple of community stars for you this week, just sharing good feedback with the team, and also a new reason for us to dish out a star, that you've been sharing some reusable content for the meetup organizers, which is brilliant, you know, like saving them some efforts and some jobs when they're sharing things with their meetups. So you shared that with them. So thank you for doing that. We're grateful. It's great that you're thinking, you know, beyond your own meetup and like, oh, how can you help other meetup organizers? It's very cool. Very cool indeed. But yes, how's your week in testing been?
My week in testing have been busy as usual. First of all, sorry if you are hearing some noises, because I have a never-ending construction site in my building, so I'm sorry if there is a lot of noise. So my weekend testing have been very busy as usual. I just finished the course I've been attending of Python, and I'm ready to practice Python in testing now. Another thing, I attended the yesterday summit Rosie talked about, and I really found a lot of statistics pretty interesting. One was shocking for me that is that 82% of QA teams still rely heavily on manual testing despite the rise of automation, and 72 of them very mature in very mature enterprises. It was very shocking for me because I have like when we see the job market, it's really on demand on automation and this kind of profile that so that was very funny. Another thing, and I just downloaded the report to read it in details because I just watched the slides that the presenter showed us, and I was interested in reading the details. But I wanted to share with you another thing. That's it. I was invited a couple of weeks ago to talk to speak at the Africa Product QE Summit this June, and I'm thinking of accepting it. It will be my first ever talk for the testing industry. They had a couple of topics, and I chose one of them. It was the evolution of testing jobs in AI-driven environments. So I have already started researching and digging into discussions, articles on my and my own experience. But I would love your advice, everyone. How would you prepare the speech? Any tips for a first-time speaker? So that's it. Thank you.
Amazing, Mariam. And well, first up, thanks for sharing those stats. Yeah, maybe we should add that report to the observatory. Yeah, it feels like there'd be value in folks reading that. Kind of that you're pointing out, there's a disconnect between job adverts saying, well, this is, you know, automation is the essential skill, and, you know, a very high majority, 82%, saying, oh no, we still do non-automated testing and that's fine. Be curious to see the detail behind that, that's for sure. And I guess, yes. Oh, Rosie, jump on in.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I've definitely had conversations over the past few months, year, even just talking to people about automation, and the vibe that I get is like people ask for automation skills, but the reality of implementing it doesn't always come to fruition. But it's, you know, it's like we end up, I don't want to say the term manual testing, we end up just doing testing, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be automated, or it's like just teamwork. It's, you know, testing shows up in so many different ways. And I was actually thinking about this as I was doing the panel yesterday and going reading the report. So I actually made sure I read the report before I went on. But a thought that came to mind is like, we're so obsessed with automating tests, but should we, especially with like AI coming, should we be thinking about automating tasks instead, you know, finding ways to just improve our productivity, our efficiencies, ways to understand, gather data, for example, or, you know, just do smaller tasks. that is still automation, but it's not necessarily automating tests. It's automating the things that we need to do. And you know, similar, but, you know, maybe that's like a mindset shift that might be helpful for us to be thinking about.
Yeah, I love your thinking, Rosie. I think of you saying like testing turns up everywhere. That reminds me, as we're building out a continuous quality on demand course, that's coming through every lesson that we're reviewing. It's just, yeah, beyond the kind of automation versus manual, in inverted commas, debate. Testing turns up everywhere. But I like that. Yeah, I like the framing of automating tasks over automating tests. Maybe we could put out a club post on that, start a discussion around the subtleties of the difference in those two approaches. I like it.
There's already a club post.
You literally just put one out. That's brilliant.
No, I did it yesterday, I think.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. I see. I missed that one. I need to get that into MOT Weekly. I'll bring that link into MOT Weekly. So, yeah, for folks who are unfamiliar, we do have a weekly newsletter where we try and pull in as much as we can of things that have been happening in the community. It's called MOT Weekly, and you can find it at ministrytesting.com/newsletter. There it is. Yeah, there's the link right in the chat. Should we be automating tasks instead of tests? Perfect. I will make a note to grab that into the newsletter. And Marianne, so some advice from Alexander about your question around public speaking. Brilliant advice from Alexander. I'm just going to read it out verbose for those who are listening. Start with the main idea you want to share in your talk, then go with a plan. Try to deliver it in at least three sections. Gather information, think about the audience. It will shape the form and content of your talk. And for a public talk, rehearse. You can record yourself on a video and see how it goes and what to improve. To improve public speaking, you can also record just 5 minutes of video and then analyze video without sound, movements, poses, sound without video, on filler words and other, and then all together. Wow. And then also from AD, practice speaking out loud. It is totally different from in your head. Great advice shared by both Alexander and AD. I think there might also be a club post on tips for public speaking and indeed a public speaking collection on ministryoftesting.com. So I will try and remember to dig that one out and include that in the weekly newsletter. But yes, thanks for sharing that advice, folks. Absolutely brilliant. And Ben, as you're up on stage, would you care to share some thoughts about that?
Absolutely. And as a first-time test bash speaker coming up this October, I'm taking notes because there's some great advice here in the chat below. The only other thing I would offer that complements what's being said there is find some critical friends. Find some people in the community who have given talks before. If you have friends or colleagues or perhaps some of the folks here on the call today, and try and do a bit of a dry run for two purposes. One, to get feedback on anything that you're worried about, like does it hit right, is it sound good, does it make sense, and also to just do a bit of timing. So one thing that's really obvious is that the first time you give a talk, it might take 2 to 3 times longer than you think it will do that it will take, and you might have to cut some stuff out. So doing a dry run is really, really helpful, like in front of people, not just on your own. And that is brilliant because it also helps you get some of the initial nerves out. Practice in front of people is the only thing I would compliment what's already awesome in the comments from AD and Alexander and others.
Wonderful advice, Ben.
Thank you for your advice, everyone.
That's great, Marianne. I'm glad you got something from that. I'd also add another one just coming into my head right now. If you get the chance to pair up with someone to do a talk, that's also a lot of fun and can take the pressure off. Rosie and I did a talk once at a conference for community professionals, and yeah, we did it together, and we had a laugh up on stage, and it definitely made it easier for myself, taking the pressure off, and we could bounce off each other, and it certainly simplified the approach of putting something together. So yeah, pair presenting is really what I'm sharing here. It can be a lot of fun and takes the pressure off a little bit.
In this case, I don't have the choice. It's a 20-minute one person talk, so I can't have another person with me for this time.
Got you.
So yeah, but I found I've been recommended an application, it's Udly at it's a very interesting when it's for speech to practice interviews and speeches. So I didn't try it yet, but I will I'll try it and give you my feedback about this.
Yeah, go for it. That sounds very cool. And Mariam, like, kudos to you, right? I know you've mentioned to some of us in the past that English is your fourth language, which is just incredible, right? So with that context as well, I can certainly understand the pressure you may feel if indeed you have to deliver your presentation in English. So yeah, kudos to you for going for it. And, you know, the Ministry of Testing community is here to support you. So yeah, keep the questions coming. Keep sharing your discoveries as well as you're growing your skill as a presenter, and you'll inspire more people.
Thank you.
Which is great. So I've just seen in the chat, Rosie Sherry is sharing, I have some breaking news. Rosie, what is this breaking news? Go for it.
Oh man, so funny. Talking about breaking news, and literally breaking news showed up. But before I go on to the breaking news, bit of suspense, I just wanted to say, like, public speaking wise, like, I've never gotten up on the test bash stage, even the 99 second stage at test bash. And I avoided any kind of public speaking for a very, very long time. And I'm terrible at planning and prepping. I did a virtual talk, a community based one recently, and I just literally created it the day before. So, you know, and it kind of works for me. I'm a bit ADHD like that. I wouldn't do that for like an in real life conference. I do tend to prep a bit more these days for that, but I struggle to prep. I read through slides in my head and kind of get the story, but I really don't like doing the physical prep. So there's my story. And I've read so much about like how to do public speaking, and in the end, you know, I just got to show up as me. But yeah, going on to the breaking news, posted in our internal MOT Slack, Deanna, who was off on maternity leave, has given birth to a baby boy today, baby Kai Dromi, born today, 2.5 kilograms. So big congrats to Deanna on that. And she gave me permission to share with all of you. And it was just quite funny that she shared it at the same time as we were talking about breaking news. But yeah, big congrats to Deanna.
That's lovely news. That is wonderful news. Yes, Deanna, congratulations to you and your beautiful family. That is fantastic. Wow, that really is breaking news, folks. So, yes, very, very cool indeed. Very, very pleased for Deanna. Lovely stuff. So thank you for sharing that, Rosie. Okay, wow. I don't know if we can top that as breaking news, but there's still time. There's still, we still have 10 minutes for, oh, as Ben shares, bug baby, congrats. That's a brilliant, brilliant framing. I love it. So folks, we have another 10 minutes or so together. So if this is maybe the first time that you've joined This Week in Testing, or indeed that you've been in the audience before, but you've never joined the stage, now could be a good moment to pop up on stage and say hello. Even if you just want to pop up and say hi and then disappear, we'd love for you to do that. Take it as an opportunity to have a little chit chat, maybe tell us about your week, tell us what you've been up to, maybe share something that you've learned this week that you would like to share with everyone. Please do go for it. We have about 10 or so minutes remaining for us to do that.
If you don't mind me jumping in quickly while people are waiting to put their hands up, Simon.
Yeah, go for it, Ben. Yeah, please do.
Yeah. I'm just going to reflect a little bit on something you and Rosie were talking about on the intro about the community star stuff. And, oh, all the feels, because it feels so similar to my journey with the tester of the day stuff, where, like, at the beginning, it was great because, you know, you throw a couple of praise at people, you throw some stars at people, you throw some winnings of testing of the day, and it's all cool. And then it snowballs and it scales so fast, and you're like, this is amazing, and I'm drowning. And then you're like, okay, how do I add tooling? Because I can't do this all on my own. Like, it starts to get to that point where automation is super critical, and community flywheel for not driving it and only awarding yourself starts to become critical. And I must kind of give you both kudos, because I think, Simon, you've managed a far greater scale and a far shorter amount of time to get the community star stuff off the ground than I ever managed with the tester of the day stuff. And the scale I reached with the tester of the day stuff already felt mega. So yeah, big bug congrats to both of you on the community stars and the badges and the certificates. It's a very cool celebration of the community.
Oh, cheers, Ben. I appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, to, you know, your tester of the day stuff was wonderful. And I know, yeah, the sort of challenge of having to decide to switch that off or at least pause it for the moment. Yeah, I can appreciate that was a tough decision to make. Yet the reasons you shared, like, yeah, completely makes sense. So yeah, we work this stuff out together as a community, right? And then if we can automate tasks, to Rosie's point earlier on, we should automate stuff to support us. And then the human side of it is the variables or the subtle elements of it, or new things that we're testing out that we're not so sure of, and all the fun stuff as well, like, you know, automate the stuff that is repetitive and takes time that can be automated, and then just focus on the fun stuff as a human, which is what we're trying to do with the Ministry of Testing.
Now, we have a new donor on stage, Simon.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Natalia. Natalia, welcome. How has your week in testing been?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Friday. This week was quite more relaxed. There's still a lot of holidays happening. That's good to have some extra space to dive into complex stuff of calculations. There was a couple of like nice things I wanted to share, like maybe a bit of random. So a few days back, I dived into my old notes from 2018 or 17 on Google Drive, which I was using at that time, not using anymore. And I found pretty cool stuff in there. I was doing, like, I don't know how many years now, 7 years ago, right? Like different technologies or different knowledge. And I was pretty impressed by myself. Did I do that? Like, there was some different interview tasks. And I'm like, wow, that's like, how did I even know how to do that? But apparently, I think a lot of things throughout the time of everyone's careers get kind of maybe left in a time when you were working different companies or technologies. You knew them, but like I think it's somewhere at the very, very back of your mind and your current technologies or your current workflow gives you different knowledge. But I was pretty impressed. If anyone wants to do this exercise, if you have some notes from, let's say, 5 years ago, I think you would be really amazed what you've been doing, like what knowledge you had before, what different techniques you had. So that was pretty cool. And I said, oh, that's cool. I should actually like maybe surface somewhere and like share. Yeah, that was good. I was impressed myself, a little bit of boost of confidence and like, oh, I had this knowledge. And like today I had a like pretty fun chat with APNs, something to share, very like a simple use case. Whenever, like, it's about automation, when people expect you to automate everything what they do, which is maybe on the side of automating tasks, which is good, but also a moment at a place throughout the process where they test or where they expect you automate, right? Like, so the idea is to automate at the end of the process when the whole big, let's say, imagine them process monthly runs and like just to verify outputs. And I was just trying to understand why there is so much attention on that side. And what actually came out of the conversation is very often operational changes do not end up in the code, but somehow they end up in the final processing. And that's why where a majority of quickly called bugs is happening, right? So, and then I said like, why we should be asking ourselves why we are bypassing code, why operational changes do not come to all places throughout the process. And like, even if you put all tests in place, even if you test the system, we will never catch because there are so many ways how we bypass the main flow. So that was an interesting conversation. And I think a lot of, like, at least in my company, happens like that when changes do not end up or reflect in all systems to align them. So yeah, and the PM that I spoke to, he was possible, like he went like, oh yeah, true, like, and possibly even asked himself like, why this change never came up to us or we never integrated in the code. And so like, yeah, so we should be having these conversations, coming back and say like, let's add them, should we add them, and yeah, align the system. Those two kind of highlights I had maybe like this last couple of days, but yeah, quickly to share.
What an awesome week for you, Natalia. Appreciate you sharing that. Ah, so cool to go back to your previous self with those notes and to discover and celebrate like the things that you were doing right then. And that feels like a club post. It really does. Like, what were you doing 6 years ago? What do your notes tell you? Or what did your past self tell you at the time you're up to? Love that. That's very cool indeed. And thanks for sharing. About, you know, changes do not end up in all systems. Yeah, what to do about that and what questions we can ask. Ben, I see you have unmuted, so feel free to jump in at this stage.
Yes, off topic, but is breaking news. 16th of July, I just wanted to point out that the fantastic person who just brings on stage, Natalia, is our July 16th guest on Software Testing Live. I thought, what a better opportunity there would never be.
I mean, if this episode isn't called Breaking News, Breaking News, Breaking News, I don't know what it's going to be called. I mean, it's just everything. The amount of breaking news we've dropped in 1 hour is impressive. I think we might have broken a record. This is great.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning Ben. I'll put it already in my diary. Definitely not missing it. So yeah, gonna create the page very soon. And yeah, let's see how it is.
We can have lots of fun. Sorry for putting you on the spot there.
Oh, yeah. No worries at all. It's, yeah, all fine.
To get the details nailed down. But I'm excited.
I look forward to that, to testing myself, like how to test live. And yeah, so gonna be fun.
Yes, indeed. Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing, Natalia. And I do see that we are coming up to towards the end of today's This Week in Testing. I just want to, there's an update from Ushwal Kumar Singh. Hello, Ushwal. Great to hear from you. Ushwal says, I'm driving, so can't come on stage. So sharing my update here. Number one, created my first AI agent this week for WhatsApp conversation, and it is still in testing mode. Oh, that sounds cool. Number two, attended Linux meetup in my city, which was really cool, as the meetup was full-fledged focused on open source. Oh, that's great. And that reminds me, we've got an article that recently went live about how you can contribute to open source projects. So do go check that out on the site. And three, and lastly, also exploring SVM. Or is that an SVN? Maybe it's an SVM. Very cool, Ushwal. Thank you for sharing that. And please do have a safe journey for the rest of your journey in your car. Okay. Well, I'm assuming you're driving a car. Hey, you might be driving a truck. You might be driving a bicycle. You might be driving a walks into a bar. You might be a minus one. Who knows what you're driving? But there we go. Okay, folks. Well, just a little reminder about Test Bash this year. Rosie, putting you on the spot here, but would you like to share some words about Test Bash and why it's so important?
Oh, okay. It's the best testing conference out there. It's so community focused. It's not just a conference, it's a reflection of the work we put into the community all year round. So it's not just one day. I often say it's 24/7, 365. We're putting a bit of emphasis on quality engineering this year as a reflection on a few of our Test and Planet sessions that we did with systems thinking, quality coaching, continuous quality. So we haven't explicitly called that out as a theme, but that's what we kind of ended up feeling was important to explore, especially as like quality engineering as a job title. It's like the most popular job title out there. So we, as part of trying to advance the industry, we felt that that was the right place to focus. And then the day beforehand, there's a leadership day. And again, this is not just one day. It's a commitment to exploring how to lead with quality, whatever that might look like. We feel like there's a gap to be filled, to talk, to understand, to connect. So it's a one-day event. We have Keith Klein leading it with Nicholas Sedgwick, Ash Hinier, and the name's just gone. I had it in my
it's,
head.
It's Barry Hedgetor. Yes.
Yes. So four amazing people, all come with different angles of leadership experience and knowledge. Barry's actually creating a course with us, on-demand course around leadership, and he's been going deep into that world, so that's exciting as well. So it's all like interconnected, everything we're doing. So yeah, it's to me it's pretty exciting, and we're creating a private Slack channel as well for just leaders as a way to go into more depth, and we'll probably do some kind of conversation recordings. That's on my to-do list that I hope to get to soon. But yeah, depth, everything we're doing is depth. And I hope people can see that, can feel that, can support us, can attend. I really do think we're stepping up from that perspective, and it's none of this is hype. We're really serious about like where we're heading, and all of this will lead to other things. It's like if we choose a topic, it's because we want to go into it in depth, and we want to create resources and learning and courses around it. So it's contributions matter. If we start conversations on any of these topics, if you contribute, they matter because they do influence what we're doing at Test Bash or Leading with Quality or everywhere, you know. So yeah, come along, ask your bosses to come along. I'll be putting together a document soon to help pitch a bit better to your bosses. But yeah, I hope we can make it the best one yet. I'm pretty excited for it myself. Nerve-wracking, but yeah, let's, come, please come, bring your team, spread the word. Every little helps.
Thank you for sharing, Rosie. Indeed, let's get it out there. For people who haven't experienced Test Bash, it is special. And for those who keep coming back, they also share the same, right? It's beyond the event, and people just really need to be part of it. It's an incredible experience. So yes, do help us by spreading the word. So if you think of someone like, oh yeah, I should let that person know, I reckon that could help them in their career, just let them know about Test Bash. If there's going to be one for them to attend this year, that should be the one. Okay, folks, very, very grateful for your time. I know we've broken all the rules and gone over, but this is wonderful. This is what it's all about. Thank you so much to our listeners today. If you are listening live or indeed listening via the podcast, thank you very much for joining us today. And also to those on stage. So we had Ben, Mariam, and Natalia. And always lovely to co-host with you, Rosie. Very cool. Likewise. Indeed. Cheers. And yeah, please do join us future This Week in Testings. We aim to do this as many Fridays as we possibly can. And yeah, well, check out the podcast soon. And we shall speak with you soon. In the meantime, enjoy yourself wherever you may be. And we'll speak soon. Bye for now.